Please take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 1, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 1. Yesterday, if you were here, I preached a message about preparing the way of the Lord. And the message entitled this morning is, He is here. He is here. Can you imagine the news and how it sounded throughout the then known world that the Messiah had come? I'd mentioned from the book of Isaiah yesterday that was written some 700 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. There's a passage there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 that foretold this particular day. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We sing the song, Joy to the World. The song goes, the lyrics, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. He rules a world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. I want us to think about some things as we move through this particular account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at Matthew chapter 1 and 2 as well as Luke chapter 2. I want us, first of all, to think about the joy of Mary and Joseph. Sometimes I'm afraid we get into accounts like this and we just look at it from a historical point of view. And we think, well, you know, as long as you've been in church, you've probably heard this account time and time again. You may know it better than anyone else you feel like in this room this morning. But at the same time, many times what happens is we think about these things and it's like it's just a passing, fleeting thought. And we think of it in spiritual, godlike terms, and I don't think we really think about it in human events. What I mean by that is can you imagine what it must have been like for Joseph and Mary when the angel came and expressed to them what was going to be taking place in their lives. In this account in Matthew chapter 1, we find, first of all, that there was some fear. Because, yes, all the time that they've been growing up, they've been hearing about the coming Messiah, and now the angel comes and says, you're going to carry, Mary, the Christ child. Let's begin reading here in chapter 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. You know, as we read these accounts, I think it's important for us to know how definitive the scripture is and how exact the Holy Spirit is in giving the words and laying out the truth before us. Just as we know already from Isaiah 9:6 that I read just a moment ago, a virgin shall conceive and bear a child, bear a son. We see this account here being evidenced in verse 18, where it says that Joseph and Mary had not been together in relations, and so that it was impossible for Mary to be pregnant as such, to be with child, unless a miracle would take place. And that's exactly what's going to be taking place. And it says here in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Now, in the Jewish custom, what they would do is when they were espoused, we would say engaged today, when they were espoused one with another, they were already seen as being married. They were already seen as a couple, but the marriage had not been consummated. The marriage had not been to such a point where they began to live under the same roof. But yet they were considered to be husband and wife. And so when he found out that Mary was expecting, at first he said, well, I'm not the dad. She must have been unfaithful to me. And so I'm going to divorce her. I'm going to give her a writing of divorcement that is mentioned from Deuteronomy chapter 24. There's been some uncleanness found in her. And so I must put her away, but I love this lady, and I don't want to make her a public example, the shame that she's going to carry through all this. And so I'm going to make this a private event that takes place. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. You know, this had never taken place before. Can you imagine what must have been going through his mind? It's one thing to know something theoretically. It's another thing to read something in a book like we do many times in the Bible. But at the same time, to actually have it take place in our personal lives and become one of our own experiences, that's a whole different matter altogether, isn't it? It's one thing maybe before you got saved to have heard the story of salvation. It's another thing when you actually take Christ as your own personal Savior. The experience is totally different, isn't it? And here you find Joseph, he's a good man. He's a righteous man. And so he says, you know, I don't know what's going on in my life. And this angel comes along and tells me these things. It must have been bewildering at first. It must have been scary at first, because I'm sure his mind is running this way and that way. What will people think? What will people say? How am I going to handle this? And so on, his response. Think about the humanness of this event that's taken place. And it says here in verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. And we know that that name Jesus means our salvation. And so, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. You know, this was a truth known to come, but now it was being fulfilled. As I said yesterday, and as we look back in the Old Testament record, we know that many of the ladies were, because of the teaching of Scripture and because the promise of the coming Messiah and how he would be born, they were always wondering, hey, am I carrying the Christ child? Could the Messiah be with me at this very time? And here, through centuries of time, we find that now it's coming to pass with Mary. And I want us to know that the Jews were not ignorant of the prophecy. Look at chapter 2 of Matthew, chapter 1. Sometimes we think that they were living with no knowledge of the coming Messiah. And even the heathen of that day, we wonder. And we're reminded in Romans chapter 1 that mankind is without excuse in regards to the Savior. It says here in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now notice, I've read that account many times, but here we see that these men knew that the Messiah was to come. And they knew the surrounding events. They saw the signs. They saw a star. And they said, we've come to worship him. Where is he? I mean, at this particular time in the record of man, we don't see all the events that have taken place yet. All those things that we seem to magnify. The choirs of angels and so on. Let's keep reading. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ, that's the anointed of God, should be born. Where is this Messiah to be born? Look at this in verse 5. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So right away, they knew the scriptures. They knew the Messiah was to come. They knew where he would come. They knew the events surrounding his coming. So they were not ignorant at this. Can you imagine, humanly speaking, what must have been taking place at this time with all the different players, so to speak, with all the human elements that are involved? Let's go to Luke, if you would. Luke chapter 1, I want to begin reading in verse 26. And once again, we see the event and how after the initial shock of what's taken place with Joseph and Mary, we find that there's a time of rejoicing and excitement that settles in. It says here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary." I like that. Anytime the Lord comes to you, he says, don't fear. You know, fear brings torment, 1 John tells us. And God does not bring torment. He brings comfort and he brings peace. That's what he's trying to let Mary know. He says, these are unusual circumstances to be sure, Mary, but hey, fear not, fear not. For thou hast found favor with God. Can't imagine that. Found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Think about the joy that must have come after this time and the security that's been given in the message by the angel to Mary and to Joseph. Think about number two, about the wise men. I mean, what joy they must have experienced. All their study. These were wise men. These were students of the scriptures. These were men who studied the sciences. These were men who were very knowledgeable in the ways of man and obviously in the ways of God. Can you imagine the joy that they must have experienced as that who they had been reading about, now they were getting ready to see? Let's take our Bibles once again and go to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 7 down to verse 12. The scripture says these words, "Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Can you imagine the excitement they must have felt? Number three, think about the angel that was sent to the shepherds to deliver the news. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2. We're bouncing back and forth. I think we'll be here in Luke chapter 2 for the remainder of the message. But Luke chapter 2, we see here an angel comes in verse 8. He says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." These were working men. Here they are just doing what they've been doing night after night after night. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Think about that. Think about the angels at this time. I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And the point I want to make out is even the heavenly host was awestruck and excited about this event for mankind. Because it says here in 1 Peter chapter 1, I begin reading in verse 3 down to verse 12. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Verse 12, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." You know, the devil and his angels have a home prepared for them, and that place is called hell. And so that angelic host followed Lucifer in his rebellion. And they were consigned that would be their ultimate dwelling place, hell. They have been awestruck from that time to this time with the fact that there is no plan of redemption for the angels. But mankind, who sinned in the garden willfully, God made a way for them to be redeemed. And so all the events of mankind, the mess ups that we see, the sin that we see evidenced in Scripture, and we see God going to such extremities to see that the Christ child is born, and that he walks and he ministers and he gives his life and God raises from the, they're just awestruck by the opportunity that mankind has. The angels desire to look into the privileges that we have. And so you can imagine when this event is taking place with the birth of the Christ child, how exciting that must have been for that angel who would come and give the news to the shepherds, who would come and then with that heavenly host, as we read just now in Luke chapter 2, about the choir that burst out in singing, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." Let's take our Bibles and go there and look at Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. After this angel tells the shepherds those words we just read about, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," I wonder what that must have been like, a dark night. The stars are out. The angel comes. I don't know if there was a brightness about him. And he's talking to the shepherds. And just as we have the cantata and we have the spotlights out, and then all of a sudden they go on and it lights up the stage. I can just imagine what it must have been like that night. That angel comes and he says the good news. And then all of a sudden the whole sky is lit up with that angelic host. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine those shepherds as they stand there, this sight that they see and the sound that they hear? There's not a discord in that choir. Every voice is perfect, right on pitch. My, what a time this must have been. And they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. My, think about the great choir of angels that sang out that night. Also, think about how it says this, that they couldn't be quiet once they saw this great sight. I mean, what would you do if you were out on a nice, clear, cool night and all of a sudden you had an angel talk to you and then a whole choir would light up the sky and they would sing the songs? Would you just say, well, okay, that was great. Good news. Super. Hey, I had something strange happen. I think you'd be a bit excited about it. You'd say, hey, let me tell you about this. Hey, this is what happened to me. You should have heard this. You should have seen this. Look what the Bible says in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Think about that. What that must have been like. Put yourself in this particular place. Put yourself in the place of the shepherds. Put yourself in the place of the wise men. Put yourself in the place of Mary and Joseph. Think about this. This was no mere event. This wasn't just happenstance. This was the fulfillment of Scripture that they knew about. Even Herod knew about this and said, hey, something's going on here. I've heard about this. Hey, wise men, exactly where is this child to be born? And boy, they could pinpoint it. Think about Simeon, the old saint of God, who had waited for this time his whole life, in verse 25. Look at this in verse 25 of Luke chapter 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through by thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Think about this old saint of God. Just staying faithful. Just staying faithful day in, day out. The Bible says he was a good man. He was a just man. He was a believer to be sure. But you know, his faith hadn't been sight. I mean, he was just going through his duties in the temple and doing his duties in life day after day after day. Like many of us, day after day after day, We just do what we're supposed to do. We honor the Lord. We seek to walk in righteousness. We're believers. Our faith has not been made sight yet. And yet this man just stayed faithful. He had that assurance that God had told him that he would see the Savior before he would die. And he said, you know what? I can't understand it. I don't know when it's going to take place, but I believe it, and I'm going to honor God with my life until that time comes. And when that time came, he said, hey, now I can go. Now I can go. Can you imagine what it must have been like for Simeon? You know, life was not easy in those days. It was a hard life. They had troubles. They had trials. They had loved ones who got sick. They had loved ones who passed on. Life was life. They were trying to put food on their tables, put clothes on their back and the backs of their loved ones and those that they were responsible for, day after day, day after day. But yet they had an undying faith in their God. Look at Anna here, 84 years old. 84 years old. And she had gone through many hardships. And yet she rejoiced to see her salvation. Let's read about it here in verse 36. It says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 36, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Here's a lady, enjoyed married life for just a short period of time, and her husband died. And she didn't give up on God. She said, you know, I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going to keep my focus on him because the Messiah is coming. And I long for that time. And so you could see by Simeon, you could see by this lady Anna, you could see by the shepherds, the wise men, life and all of its variants was going on day after day, month after month, year after year, and yet people were putting their faith and trust in the Word of God and saying, I don't know when it's going to take place, I don't exactly know how it's all going to happen, but at the same time, I believe God, and I'm going to rest my faith and my eternal destiny on what God has said. He's here. That's what we've been reading about. The Messiah is here. We are truly a blessed people at this time in human history. I mean, can you imagine? They had to look forward and say, will it take place? Will it take place? And we look back and we've got the entire Bible. We've got the historical records. We've got the backup proof from many sources. Wow, our faith ought to be easy. Emmanuel, God with us. You know, they talk about joy. And joy, there's a definition for joy. It's from Webster's 1828. It says, a glorious and triumphant state. When it talks about a state, it's not talking about the state of North Dakota. It's talking about your position. And what it has to do in the life of a believer, when we talk about the believer's state, we're talking about our position, or we're talking about the inward individual, the inward man. And so you can be going through trouble and yet experience great joy, an inner peace, an inner contentment. And that's the point I'm trying to make here. You have Anna. That was not easy saying goodbye to a loved one. You have Anna fasting and praying in the temple, doing the work of God and filling in the gap where she could, being a help in that particular form of worship. You've got Simeon, an old man. An old saint of God, just trying to do his best through life, walking with God. I mean, all these individuals. And yet, as hard as life was back in those days, they had an inner peace, an inner joy, and they could rejoice and be exceeding glad. What an example for us. Life is not always easy. Life sometimes can be very hard, unrelenting, day after day after day. And yet we can have that peace that passeth all understanding, that shall keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's happiness. It's defined as being an enjoyment of agreeable sensations, more or less. I guess you could talk about the senses that we experience, touch and taste and so on. It says being an enjoyment of agreeable sensations from the possession of good. And that just deals with the outward stimulus. In other words, oh, we have happy times, happy events. And sad to say, many people are trying in this day and time to chase after happiness when God wants to give us joy. The word blessed means made happy or prosperous. And it has to do with having favor with God and enjoying the favor of God. I emphasized one thing in the reading of the scripture earlier in regards to Mary, how that the angel said, you have found favor with God. In the midst of bondage, there was joy. In the midst of poverty, there was joy. In the midst of inconveniences, there was joy. In the midst of slander and innuendo, there was joy. There was so much wrong in the world at that time. And yet, they found great joy. Think about what the birth of Jesus means for us. It means God with us. It means our salvation. It means our faith is solid. It means our hope. He is our hope. In hope of eternal life, that God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, please. First, they heard. Secondly, they came. And thirdly, they told. He's here. He's here. The Messiah is here. As the musicians play, if you need to come, would you come? It could be that you're not saved and you need to settle that today. Why don't you make this day the day of your salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Notice I didn't say, do you know the Christmas story? Do you know about Him? No, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Christian, life isn't always easy. Life sometimes is hard. But just as these saints of the Lord live life, Simeon through a lot of years, Anna, tough times, and yet kept their focus on the God of heaven. Let me encourage you this time of year to keep your focus on the God of heaven. He's here. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Don't ever forget that. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He is with you. He is in you. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come.